Lost my script. Thanks for attending the Madison Food Policy Council meeting of Madison, December of, geez, of Wednesday, December. That's not the right thing. Of Wednesday, I'm sorry. We're about to be professional. Thanks for attending the Madison Food Policy Council meeting on Wednesday, December 3rd, 2025. This meeting is being held virtually and is also being recorded per Madison General Ordinance 33.01, Section 12. Please adhere to the virtual meetings etiquette by doing the following. All food policy members, council members, please keep cameras on during the meeting. Community members, guests, and staff, please keep cameras off during the meeting unless speaking. And all attendees, please keep mics muted unless called upon the chair, me. After raising your hand virtually, attendees calling in via phone can use *6 to mute and unmute and *9 to raise your hand. Asterisk nine, actually. So here we go with the agenda, which is not on that window. First item of business is looking at the last items of business, which was I'm looking for everybody to look at the meeting notes from last month, and those of you that were there, look it over, see if it looks good to approve. And I'm looking for a motion to approve. Nan? Nan, you're muted, but you raised your hand, so that might be a motion.
Yes, and once there's a second, I do have one correction.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna think that. I got Hetty with a second. Your correction, Nan?
Yeah, it's only that I need to be noted as present in the heading.
Okay. I will. Hetty, are you good to second that correction too? Okay, I'll assume unanimous consent on the correction as well as the approval of the minutes, unless I see a hand for a roll call vote about that. Seeing no hands, those minutes are approved. So, are there any public comments?
Prepared in advance.
Okay. Anyone calling in that's got a comment from the public? Seeing no one saying anything. We are at the disclosures and recusals part. And we do have this action item around recommending that the city adopt policies around growing. The action item is adopting recommendations around growing food on brownfields. Are there any disclosures or recusals? I'm not going to recuse, but I will disclose that I am employed by Rooted, which does gardening things. So, yeah, I Hetty is too. Okay. So then, before we get to that action item, are there any items new business, which is where you would say things you want to talk about in future meetings, like an action item or item up for discussion or other topics. Seen. Oh, Hetty.
Maybe I know there's some activity that's happening, and George might speak to this later, when he speaks, but with the survey that's out about community gardens and things on that line, I wonder if there might be opportunity for our council to hear a little bit more about that and or have more of a presentation once those results are in. Just curious.
Yeah, I think that's a legit new business, and we'll either discuss it or maybe even get it on a future meeting.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Eddie.
You may even get an update tonight.
Well, all right.
I haven't filled out the survey yet. Okay, on to our, well, so our next item is an action item, but it has been tabled, so I think Nan told me that it needs to be untabled if we're going to talk about it. So, Nan?
Yes, I'm going to make a motion that we remove this item from the table. And if I get a second, I'll explain why and the process.
And I'll just say that I was confused by removing something from the table. You're like picking it up and looking at it. You're not like throwing it on the ground. So now wants to talk about it. Can I get a second to remove it from the table? Chris.
In a second.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
So this is just
Oh, you go
Robert.
now.
This is just Robert's rules of order. When you can't take up an item at a particular meeting, you can place it on the table, but when you're ready to take it up, you need to if officially bring it back onto the agenda. So this wasn't ready for action in October. If you look at the minutes, item three, you can see that's when we tabled it, and we moved instead to a presentation in the portion of the agenda that was a report from the RAFS work group. And that's when Marsha Caton Campbell provided the background for this policy proposal or this resolution proposal, and took questions, and we had some discussion about it back then. So, with that in mind, you probably noticed there's a document linked to this Legistar number now that is has been prepared by the RAFS work group that is items that they're elements that could go into a potential resolution for Common Council action. So the task for this evening then is to discuss that draft. Answer any questions people might have, explore how this effort might be able to support these mayor citywide efforts to find more growing spaces for food. And when we're ready, there can be another a motion on this item that the group could take action on this evening. So that is the process. And once we've voted on the motion, take it off the table. That can begin, and Nick will take over.
Thanks, Dan. So yes, we have a motion and a second, and I will assume unanimous consent on that of taking it off the table, unless I see a hand other than Nan's. Now I don't even need to think about Nan's hand, and seeing no other hands, now we're talking about it. Look at us go. Okay, so now we are looking for, just to give you a little more information. Now we're looking for, I guess, a motion to approve. You could also have a motion. Nope. Man says
Well,
no.
I think we were going to give Rebecca a chance to set the table on this a little bit now that if she's prepared to do that,
Sure.
just to refresh everybody's memories and set the context for where we are in the process now.
Yeah, that seems smart. And yeah, I'd recommend everybody opening up the PDF because it might answer some of your questions that Rebecca's. Well, anyway, I'll let Rebecca start.
Hi everyone, this is Rebecca. Apologies for having to be on the phone. So what is before us is draft language for a resolution that several of our alders will co-sponsor. And this came out of, as Marcia and Nick's presentation last month showed, this came out of recommendations from Farmland Preservation Task Force several years ago, and issues, historical issues around community gardens on parks and issues coming up like that. So what we discovered was that there's no citywide policy about growing food on brownfields, although parks, and different departments who have land, who own city property and allow people to grow on them, have a lot of experience with this, and some have developed practices or maybe policies internal to their department. But there's no general citywide policy. And so with the potential opportunity that is coming up for the city to expand, to offer city properties, it's not clear which ones or where or which department controls them, but to potentially offer them for food growing, that we thought this was really a good time to bring forth those recommendations and to get city departments to sort of share their experience and information to develop a citywide policy. And in this resolution, you'll see that it's asking for three things: for that policy to be made with the support of us, the council. It's not asking for any particular department to make it. It's asking for the policy to be made, because we want to respect and honor, what experiences different departments have in this. But we can, with the help of our staff person, Nick Heckman, can really bottom line the creation of that policy in communication with all the pertinent departments. Secondly, it's asking for that policy to be written in really clear, easy language, and then for it to be done by the start of growing season. So that's kind of the substance of it. And the whereases in the draft language sort of give a little history of people growing food on city property, and the need to create a policy. And the reason we didn't just offer a policy is because we really need to consult with a lot of different people, but we thought it's very important, given that this potential project has been publicized in the community. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about it, that there be a clear public sort of engagement through our council and notice that there will be policies, a policy made. And so that's kind of that, the reason. We are hoping that if we can finalize the language tonight, that one of our alders, or Alder Vidiver has volunteered, Alder Tischler has agreed to, take some leadership on it, could introduce this from the floor next Tuesday at their December meeting. And then from there, it would get all the committee referrals. And in January, either in late January or early February, we may have some actual policy language written, but at least the council could weigh in on if they think this is a good idea to have a policy and to have it along these timelines. So that's what I have to share. Check.
I do want to say one more thing. If you're looking at the agenda and you click on the attachment, you'll actually see the presentation that Marcia gave last year. If you click on the number 90036 and right click and open in a new tab, that will give you a new Legistar window from which you can open the resolution, which is called Resolution to Create Policies for Food Production on City-Owned Land. So sorry about the confusion there. Also, thank you, Rebecca. Sorry, I just wanted to say that before I forgot. Are there any questions that y'all have? George?
Hey, you folks see me and hear me?
Yes.
Hey, how's everybody doing? So I appreciate Rebecca, what you laid out. It actually is very helpful, clarifying, I think. I wanted to kind of weigh in as agency staff here with EDD, because one of the concerns that we had, which it seems now you've kind of addressed, Rebecca, was around capacity, right? I don't want to come in here like a wet blanket or a Debbie Downer, but we come in with work plans for, a set period of time. And so when we see things that add to those work plans in ways that we're not prepared for, sometimes especially leadership can get a little worried about that. And so one of the things I wanted to weigh in and just offer is that, I appreciate that this work is being pursued. I know it ties back to recommendations from the June 2023 Farmland Preservation Task Force final report. I think brownfields was mentioned like 50 times in that report. So this is obviously something that is tied back to that, and I understand that. But I do want to make absolutely sure, and just by reading the resolution language, it wasn't 100% clear to me, or to leadership of other agencies within the city that the Food Policy Council would be leading this effort in collaboration with city staff. It says obviously that the city would be working towards implementing a brownfields policy with research and support from the Madison Food Policy Council. But I do want to make sure and make clear because especially in the case of an agency like EDD, I know, which is just one of many agencies, right? Parks, engineering, water utility that controls land. We would want to make sure that the expertise on this is driven by the Food Policy Council and that agency staff was then essentially consulted with a draft policy or at least iterations of a draft policy. So it sounds like that's kind of what I'm hearing from you, Rebecca, but I just want to make sure, and I want to advocate essentially for city staff, not just me, but other city staff and agency staff that might be involved, that is kind of the clear line of process so that capacity, I guess, for other projects that are already slated is respected, which again, I think I heard from you as well, Rebecca. So I'll hang it up there. I appreciate you all bringing this forward. I don't want to downplay that I think this type of work is important and that we need to be looking into these types of issues. It'll also dovetail nicely with an update I'll give a little later in the meeting on expanding urban ag on city land. So, like I said, I just wanted to weigh in and make sure that that language was clarified within the resolution, that there was this clear delineation between essentially what city staff is doing and what the Food Policy Council is doing and how the two entities are working collaboratively together. So with that, I'll hang it up. I don't want to steal your thunder, Nicholas, but I see Alder Tischler has his hand up.
Yeah, go for it, Alder Tischler.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and again, I'm as I expressed, I am willing to be a sponsor of this. The one thing I want to be I guess cautious about, and I want to be mindful about staff time. I know that I mean I have I'm a public servant during the day, and I know as was like to work under deadlines. One thing I'm a little bit concerned about is just the very last resolve that if it's the March 2026, if that's actually feasible, if that's putting a lot of pressure on staff. And I want to make sure if we do this, we do this right. And so I guess I would like to have a discussion about if about that particular if we move having something done well, if it's past that March 2026, if that's how the committee feels about that. So thank you.
Rebecca.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks, George. So that you did get that right. And that if you're going to be talking about the new project on urban ag on city land, and you talked about work plans, I assume that your work plans include that, and that having this policy would really, I think, save time if it were done in advance of city staff. And yeah, the idea was for us, we worded it that way. We worded it with the support and research of Food Policy Council, because again, we were wanting to sort of be deferential to city staff and their expertise. But we are happy, and by we, I'm mostly talking about the Regional Ag and Food Sovereignty Work Group, which has done a lot of the work on this. Are happy to take the do the bulk of the work, and with the help of Nick Heckman, be consulting with other departments. So that is the intention. Check.
Any other thoughts from anyone? Alder Tischler?
Yeah. So, Rebecca, I'm, you know, I mean, I, you know, I think it's great, the bulk of the work, that will be put into this, and I just want to make sure that if we find ourselves, close to that March 26th deadline, I just want to make sure that we're not rushing to get this policy in place, and if if we could have a discussion about having a little more language in here that might give us a little more flexibility and not, I mean, again, I work at a university and we're still primarily on an agricultural calendar with our the way that our campus cycles, but if we have to miss this upcoming growing season just to have a well thought through plan, if how the council feels about having some flexibility in language on this resolution.
Let's go Hetty and then Nan, and then I'll talk about sort of the process of like approval or amendment or tabling and such.
I think
Unless Nan talks about it first.
sure. I think Alder Tischler pretty much just spoke to what I was going to ask because it seemed like maybe that's where we might want to make some changes if we're going to adopt the language that is before us to potentially make some change to that last piece and make that date not so soon because it does seem kind of soon. Just knowing how city processes work, that it could be a little difficult, but we're all championing it for sure. That's all.
Ned.
My hope would be that we can push on this as hard as we can, those of us who are going to be working on the policy language itself, and that the Food Policy Council will always be in control of this resolution as it moves through, and if it needs to be amended to extend the date by a month or two, that can certainly be done. It would be a shame if by amending that language to be so open-ended, it didn't happen until the following year. And that's easy to see how that can happen, having gone through these processes before. So I think the RAFS team is willing to put in the time that it takes to have some language for to go with this in, if not January, then February. And as this moves through, there would be an opportunity to extend the time. But I would hope that we wouldn't leave it open-ended.
Okay, so I think the processes that could happen is one, no one makes a motion and then we move to the next item. There could be a motion to do such things as table it for future discussion, which then would be nothing, or I'll wait till next month. Nan, you're muted.
I'm just saying it would be a referral. I wouldn't recommend tabling.
Okay, a referral. There could be a motion to recommend it to the Common Council. After that motion, there could be a request, motions to amend the resolution. We don't do amendments until after we're actually thinking about recommending it to the Common Council. And amendments can go every which way. And I think those are the main things that could happen. Alder Evers.
Thanks, Chair. It's my understanding that the language doesn't need to be ready for next Tuesday's meeting, but rather if it's so are we introducing it from the floor by title only, or do we want a substantive resolution in place by next Tuesday? Question. That's the question to Nan or to Rebecca or
I think we're hoping to have a substantive resolution. So I'm
Okay.
sorry, moving and I can't see the I'm not raising my hands or anything.
No, that's fine.
And if there's something we want to change the date to say in time for the 2026 growing season or something
Yeah,
kind of
something.
open-ended but not, something like that, if that would address Alder Tischler's concern, someone could do that.
Yeah, I would move that we recommend this to Common Council on Tuesday to be introduced and remove the word March, March 2026, and just say recommend in time for the 2026 growing season. Because I just think that having the months there is going to perhaps create red flags in some people's minds, and then I think if we stay on time for the next growing season, that covers us. So that's my combined motion here.
I'm raising my hand to second that.
Okay. So a combined motion of sending it and making the amendment to take March out. And probably whatever like attendant words that make that sentence still make sense, which would be, I guess, by March 2026, I think would be the part you'd take out. So then you say it'd be adopted so the staff and potential growers are prepared for the 2026 growing season. Okay, that's what I'm saying that Alder Evers is motioning and Nana seconding. Are there any, now you get to comment on how you feel about this or not. And saying no hands for commenting, which makes sense. Oh, okay, Chris.
Did you groan when I raised my hand? Question for you, Nicholas, or and the rooted folks, which is, we're talking about getting ready for the 2026 growing season. I assume we're talking, as we talk raised beds, we're talking mostly community garden kind of efforts. Are people reaching out to you right now? Do you have groups that are waiting to get on land and start gardening?
I'd say yes, it varies. There's a lot of different groups and people who have expressed interest in gardening. There are some particular sites, such as I think the North Olbrich parcel is an example. The North Olbrich parcel, which will be, I think, just called North Olbrich Park in a couple years, is an example where the Parks Department has. They've gone through their master plan reviews process, and it is a brownfield. And they have, they they're I they're I think a city department that does have something of a policy already for this, and that they have said that raised bed gardening would be permissible on this site. And so I think that is one example. In the past, there has been requests for community gardens on Demitral Field. Though I don't have, that's not, I mean, I've been here 6 years and I don't know those people, but I'm sure they exist.
Well, I've been here many, many years, and I can tell you probably 15, Nan's nodding her head, 15, 20 years ago, that site was being looked at. And we knew it was a brownfield back then. So
Yeah, and
nothing
I
big of a
think,
one.
I think that people will be interested in gardens, and then if someone tells them they're not allowed, then they'll be interested in other things,
Right.
or they'll be interested in gardens elsewhere. And so I think the idea of this policy is that then it's there for when people are interested. We
Exactly.
got.
So I'll just make a comment in support of the motion. We are a food policy council. It has been made public that land is available and they're pushing people to grow food. I can tell you both from my professional position at feed kitchens, I've been being communicated with about it, even though we don't have anything to do with gardens, but also as a community garden coordinator in my neighborhood. Lots of people have been reaching out to me, both professional and neighborhood people, about what do I feel about this? How does our park? How does our garden? So there's a lot of activity around it. So I think we do need to sort of push to come up with a policy within the city.
Nan?
I was just going to Add a little detail. Chris mentioned Demitral Field. There was indeed an effort by neighbors wondering whether some of that land could be used for community gardening some years ago. And the answer was a straight up no because it was a landfill. And so this policy will enable much more flexibility about how that land can be used and would enable a garden to be done there using the guidelines that this policy will explain. And it'll give staff the guidance they need to know how to facilitate that.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, so we are in the middle of voting because there was a motion and a second. And so now I will assume unanimous consent. And Walter, you're right at the top, and I know you're new, so I'll make that means that I'm assuming everyone's voting yes. Unless someone raises their hand to ask for a roll call vote. Give it some extra time since we were talking about it a lot. But seeing no hands, Rebecca, you can auditorially raise your hand if you want. But I don't hear anything. So that motion passes. Robert, the rules of order. We did it. Now I need to find my agenda. Okay. Oh, it's me. So number one, I would like to welcome Walter Strange to the Food Policy Council. And I don't know if anyone told you, but you can introduce yourself now if you want.
Yeah, I'll introduce myself. So my name is Walt Strange. I'm a high school senior at Madison West, and I'm involved with a club at our school called Meals Matter, which focuses on like running food drives and different volunteering events. And we were interested in getting involved in policy, so this is a great opportunity to do that. I'm excited to get involved.
Thanks. Oh, Hetty, I think is excited too.
I just have to say, this is awesome. Welcome, Walt, to the Food Policy Council. We're really excited to have you here representing future generations of food policy folks.
Thank you.
Yes. And let's close some windows. Okay. And a reminder. To do a statement of in there's your statement of interest thing. It is where you say that. Oh, George.
Oh, no, it's not a major thing. It was just going back to Walt. I worked with John for a number of years and he was good people, so it's cool to see you on here. I'll just leave it there.
Alder Tischler.
Yeah, he's talked about you a little bit. That's cool.
Yeah, Tara, I was wondering if we wanted to take a few, just a minute or so, just to maybe introduce ourselves to our new member.
Sure. I'm the Community Gardens Coordinator. I work for Rooted. I'm the Community Gardens Representative. Alder Tischler, you can go, and then.
Oh, okay. Bill Tischler, I'm the alder for District 11. I'm also a West High alum. I won't say what decade it was I graduated, but I do have two kids who currently are at West High School. It's a good school, so welcome.
Thank you.
I'll jump in. Tag Evers, District 13, Alder, near west and near south side. Welcome.
I'm Nan Fay, former chair of this august body, and my kids went to West, so welcome.
Walt, I'm the
Walter,
Director of Food
hey
Nutrition at the
Walt,
Madison
I'm
West.
sorry, I think I just stepped on Josh here. Sorry,
No,
Josh.
you're good, Chris. Keep going. Keep going.
Chris Brockle, I'm the Director of Food Systems for the Northside Planning Council, and manage Feed Kitchens, Healthy Food for All, which is a food recovery operation, and Feed Bakery training programs. And we'd love to have students get involved with any of those measures as well. Welcome.
All right, that sounds cool.
Walt, I'm the director of food nutrition at the school district. I live a couple blocks away from West, so very familiar with the neighborhood. Welcome.
I can just say who I am because I didn't tell you when I was expressing my excitement. My name is Hattie Rudd, and I'm the co-executive director of Rooted, and I work with Nicholas. We do have a lot of youth employees who I hope one day will be members of this body. So it would be really awesome to connect with you at some point to maybe connect you with our youth employees. And my son went to West, but I'm an East graduate, so.
All right, thanks.
Casey, I'm
Yeah, I'm
Rebecca,
Casey
let's
Hattie.
say.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, okay, sounds good. Yeah, I'm Casey. I just joined a couple months before you, so it's good to see you here. I don't remember Nicholas giving me the introductions to everybody, so guess we're getting that now. Yeah, but good to meet you.
Nicholas, do you want staff to do them, or you want to just
Sure,
kind of
you're
hang out?
useful and
Oh, this is Rebecca.
important.
This is Rebecca.
Yeah, go ahead,
Hi. I'm
Rebecca.
also a member of the council. I'm the vice chair of this council. I'm on the board of Wisconsin Food Systems Inc., which is a nonprofit that's been trying to get a food terminal market built and working on the Dane County Food Action Plan with people from REAP and others on this call. Also, very proud Northsider.
Yeah, sure, George, and then Nick.
Yeah, real quick. George Reistad, a business development specialist in economic development. Proud Milwaukeean, graduated from Rufus King High School, but I used to be a tutor at West High School when I came to college, so I have familiarity with that. Pleasure to have you on the council and welcome. I'll kick it over to Nick Heckman.
Cheers, Walt. Nice to see you again. We've had a good chance to connect already, but it's great to have you here. We're very fortunate for you to be participating on the council. Thanks.
Okay, I think that was everyone. So I'll go to my main nagging point, which was fill out your statement of interest. Walter, you just joined, so it's possible something, if you didn't get it, then email Nick. It's just so everybody do it. It's real easy. You just say where you work and how many houses you own other than the one you live in. And I think that, oh yeah, and then meeting dates are on for next year. Check your email. They're also in Legistar, and the one in January is the 21st. Put them on your calendar now. And now we're going to the regular business reports, which I think is regional food system planning.
We don't have,
And
sorry, folks. We don't have Noah with us tonight, so I'll just briefly mention that the food plan team has been hard at work. We have officially received some results of some of the survey data aggregation and collection. Our folks at Second Harvest, Devika, who's a member of this council and not able to be here tonight, has actually been doing some of that analysis, and the results are very interesting, and I would hope that we will have an opportunity to present more about that in January or February. So stay tuned.
okay. Regional Ag and Food Systems Working Group. We mostly just discuss processes for the Brownfields resolution today. But our new business for January will be some talk about Dane County environmental and ecological credits for farmers, restarting community composting policy talks, and continuing the conversation from the City of Madison's request for expressions of interest. So come to that meeting if you want, and let us know if you want to know how to come to that meeting. I think the next thing is Dang Food Access Network.
Yeah, thanks everyone. It's time has been moving very strangely, but it's in some ways hard to remember all of the events of the last month, since or particularly since we last met in October. But that did include an entire government shutdown and saga around SNAP benefits that many of you were aware of and have impacted your work or your communities. So the previous meeting of the Food Access Network, obviously this was a sensitive topic of great concern for many people. There's a lot happening. We've mentioned in this space before. It was good to see shortly after that mid-November meeting that the benefits were restored, the shutdown was ended, and people regained access to their SNAP benefits. But there are a number of other policy changes that are being bandied about now regarding SNAP that could greatly impact our communities in the future. So just to keep a few things on your radar in that regard, there has been some suggestion that there could be legal action taken against states that don't share their SNAP participant data. That could cause some further stoppage in benefits. Whether or not that's legal, I think, is another question. And then another issue that will likely make the news more and more and may be a term you've heard in this space in the past is the issue of public charge. So in short, for folks who are seeking to become permanent residents of the United States, there is a standard applied to them during the citizenship process that they are not to become a public charge. And the traditional definition of that was the receipt of cash benefits. During the first Trump administration, they expanded that to certain assistance programs, including SNAP and housing assistance and a few others. And it does seem that that's going to be happening again, so that families who use those benefits when legal permanent residents could be impacting their potential future citizenship. So it's a strong deterrent for some families in an era where obviously immigration is a large issue for the country. So we can continue to talk about what that looks like as the policies roll out. But I'm here now and happy to answer questions on these topics to the best of my ability as well.
Thanks, Nick. Any questions? Do we have anything from the Farmland Preservation Task Force this month?
I would say, I mean, the Brownfields resolution is would enable us to check yet another recommendation off our list, but I see Alder Evers raised.
Yeah, go ahead, Alder Evers, and you can ask about whichever place you want.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. At last Tuesday's, was it Tuesday? Or no, just gosh, not last Tuesday. That would have been the council meeting a week ago. Just this past Monday at Finance, we had a topic in closed session, which you can see if you were to go to the agenda, the last item on the agenda in closed session. Well, I can't discuss because of the rules of closed session. I can't discuss the content of the discussion that went on among the members of the committee and staff. But I want to read out loud the what is on the agenda so you know. And the last item, Legistar number 91046, discussion regarding negotiations with Halo Real Estate Ventures for possible investment of tax increment finance funds into a mixed-use project known as the Ramish Farm Development, proposed to be located in the vicinity of 4000 Packers Avenue and 4201 North Sherman Avenue. I think most of you are aware that this was debated multiple times by council, and it took three different iterations before council approved a project. But included in that project, and by means of a compromise, was a commitment that a certain portion of the project would be allocated to food production, namely either community gardens or the potential for market farms. I just want to bring up to the members of the committee that it might be appropriate to follow up and ask staff, in particular, what they know about the agreements that were made as a part of that discussion and that debate. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Do I need to say anything else? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Elder. Sorry. Josh, you want to tell us about Madison Metropolitan School District?
Well, we're in business for another couple of weeks before we shut down for winter break. This is that time of year when we I mean, I don't know if there's a business report or not. We try to change the menus in the heartier direction. It got cold awful fast and appetites are up. So we're featuring some new things that are, I think, kind of nice. Part of my Chef Fan Fellowship, like curried sweet potatoes, some new vegetable dishes we're putting out in the salad bar that we haven't tried before. They're pretty new recipes and we're hoping they get an enthusiastic response from the students. Other than that, it's kind of business as usual. It's always busy.
Thanks. Double dollars.
Yeah, I can mention that the Double Dollars program did see some changes in the budget process for both city and county. We discussed this previously, but the county had reduced initially its entire Double Dollars contribution, but due to some support from members of the Double Dollars team and the Heart Association, the Action Coalition, Willis Street Co-op, and others, Double Dollars was restored at $10,000, down from $60,000 initially in the county's budget. And then additionally, and thanks to advocacy of this council and Alders, particularly Alder Evers and Alder Revere, I believe Alder O'Brien, additional funds were added to the city budget to support farmers markets that are participating in the Double Dollars program going forward. So there was some movement in both directions, and the program itself, I think, is undergoing some new staffing and some restructuring to try to determine how to continue to meet the needs and the goals of the Double Dollars program, getting healthy foods in the hands of folks who qualify for the program, and to do so in a sustainable fashion going forward. So I think the sentiment is gratitude that all of the efforts by this council, by Madison Common Council and beyond, proved successful.
Thanks, Nick. Our council didn't say anything. Some of our members might have. Community gardens. I'll just say that I think you should listen to George's presentation later in this meeting, and I think it will be that it's part of a can be part of a bigger conversation about how we think about what resources we all have and what ideas and what we do to make them happen together. So that was cryptic, but just pay attention to George. Food system assessment.
Lindsay did not submit a report today.
Okay, thanks. We are at the business development specialist, George.
Hey, everybody. I wouldn't go so far as to call it a presentation. Maybe a brief update, presentation pending. But as folks know, and as been talked about on this meeting, right, a request for expressions of interest, as we're calling it, an RFEI, survey for expanding community gardens and market gardens on city-owned land, basically urban ag functions on city land, went out mid-November, November 10th, and it closes on December 22nd, right? So it gives people about a 6-week window to respond, of which there are about 3 weeks left to respond. At this point, there have been 29 survey responses. I've kind of skinned them. They run the gamut from, individual folks who are just like, this is a great idea. I love to see that the city is doing this. I would love to, garden on land that was closer to my house or, whatever it is, right? Just like regular, ordinary residents weighing in to kind of organizational interests that are more represented. So, a couple of things I wanted to do here was just to point out to this group, because I know that, the group hasn't been super involved with this at this point. And so I wanted to point out that really this was an idea that came from the mayor. And so this is just an effort right now to gather initial information, right? Like this is like we're really trying to determine what is community demand, what is community interest in establishing different urban ag functions on city-owned land. As we all know, there already are urban ag functions on city-owned land when it comes to gardens. And with the farm leases that we currently hold. But I think what we're more interested in is looking at, are there strategic ways to expand community gardens? Are there strategic ways to capture more market garden or commercial urban ag interest on land that we use, especially in very uncertain times with uncertain pricing and the ability of folks to be able to actually afford good food? In what ways can the city actually step up with the land that we hold and control? So, like I said, I want to point out to this group, and maybe I could have done a better job earlier, but this is just an initial step in this process, and I want to make folks aware of that. Now, the results of this request for expressions of interest will help inform the city's next steps, which could possibly include a more formal RFP process. And it should be noted that the MFPC will be involved with those next steps related to the effort. I should also note, just for just to be candid, that just based on how this is all going, in terms of what may be required from a capital perspective, most likely this will not be wrapped up for the 2026 growing season. So this is something that is, I mean, it's not a small effort. It's something that does require time and intentionality. And so we're looking at, most likely we're not looking at this growing season, possibly the next growing season, but this is something where we really have to, we don't even know what we have yet. We have to kind of determine community demand. And then on the other side of the equation, kind of determine city supply in terms of the land itself. So, I mean, I'm happy to answer questions. I don't know how many answers I'll have for you, but this is a project that is moving forward, but it's kind of developing as it moves forward. So I'll leave it there. Hedy, well, my bad, Nick. I keep
Yeah, go for it,
Nicholas, I
Eddie.
keep
It's
stealing all
fine.
your
It's
functions,
fine.
man. Yeah,
I
Hedy, I see your hand is up.
Yeah. So I have a couple questions. First, it's really interesting reading the responses on Facebook from the community to the survey that went out. So that part, it was really interesting to see how the interest that community members have. When you said there were only 20 some responses, that speaks to my other question. Because if I'm reading the Facebook comments, there's so many people interested, then there should be that many people that want to say something, but they're not. And I think it might be the problem that I'm having, which is I think that when people click on it, and I clicked on it, and then I thought, oh, well, Nicholas will handle this, because it seemed more geared towards organizations, like for them to respond. And so but then we were talking with somebody else at the city, and we were told you should just respond individually with your thoughts. But that's great, because I had somebody tell me that, but everybody, isn't going to have somebody. So I wonder if there's a way, if we still have time, I mean, there's 22 days, that we could maybe reframe that a little bit, so that regular people, or are you not wanting regular people's input? Because it seems that if you do, we might want to tweak that just a little bit, because
Yeah.
I would imagine, just because even just reading the Facebook comments has been so intriguing, and it's exciting to see the desire that the community has for more space to grow. And so I just feel like we might be missing something if we're only looking for organizations to answer your survey. So that's, but I'm also very excited to see the results. Who
Yeah.
answers them?
No, I think your question is housed in a statement, and I appreciate it. So I mean, just to answer straight up, I mean it really is geared towards organizations. I don't think there's anything wrong with individuals responding, right? I think what you're kind of getting at, it increases our knowledge of like who's interested in these issues out there generally, but it doesn't necessarily address, I guess, the problem we're seeking to solve, which is, right, like we're not going to give an individual a couple of acres of land, kind of thing. And so it helps in terms of maybe understanding again broad-based, high-level community demand. But at the end of the day, I think what it is that we're looking for at the city structurally is for organizations who are interested in taking on these functions. So you know, your point is well received in that, like, we would definitely not discourage individual people from applying, but at the same time, I'm not 100% sure if it's the most helpful responses that we're getting, especially just looking through the responses we've already got. But it's a good question to ask.
I have a question. I have a question, which is, could you talk about what city-owned land means?
Yeah, I mean, city-owned land is the land that the city owns, I guess. I mean, I know this is there's a lot of layers here because the city owns literally like thousands of parcels of land. But I think in our case, what we're looking at are properties which would be suitable for growing activities, for urban ag activities, especially when weighed against other uses and things that property has been slated for, right? Outside of just straight up farmland. Of which this committee has already kind of addressed that issue through farm leases. Outside of straight up farmland, which in many cases those are slated for other future uses as well, right? There isn't just a ton of land that's laying around that's specifically slated for growing or for farmland. And so that's kind of to some extent the root of this issue. What is the community demand and interest in growing on city-owned land based on that interest and based on kind of the inventory of lands that we have available? How can we align what is actually available and viable for growing versus the demand that exists from either an organizational management perspective and or, you know, because they inform one another, right? Like if an organization is managing a parcel of land or multiple parcels of land, there has to be people that then populate the parcels with either commercial market garden activities or community garden activities. It's kind of the same thing with Rooted, right? Like Rooted manages the leases, but Rooted is not the gardener of every plot. You have to have the gardeners to make the gardens work. So I think that's what we're trying to do. I'm sorry to be kind of cryptic. I mean, we're in the process of the exact parcels have not been completely defined at this point. I mean, I think we have some ideas on what could work, and more information will becoming when we kind of formalize all of that. But right now, what we're really in is just the information gathering phase in terms of who is
But
out there,
you're
who's
looking at like
interested.
multiple acres potentially,
Yeah.
is what you're.
Yes. Yeah. It's
And
not
Nick raises.
just like
Okay.
small parcels or anything like that. Yeah. Go ahead,
Did
Nick.
we just lose quorum, Nick?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Let me count that in a second. But just to answer that question, I think there is I think the kinds of examples that George is giving is really. It could be park land that's owned by the Parks Department. It could be owned by the engineering department. It could be irregular parcels. It could be things that are slated for future land use strategies and so forth. So there's like lots of different types of forms that this city-owned land can take. Just wanted to clarify those examples. But let me do a little count.
Okay. Any other questions for George while we have you? Alder Tischler.
Yeah, George, just one quick question. As the city continues to, maybe build more housing, or we start looking at other uses of our existing, not housing, I mean other new buildings, sorry, or other uses of our existing buildings. Do we also be looking at? Do we also look at doing farming, like maybe on the tops of, like I'll just throw out like a parking garage that top. The very top of the parking garage might be if the space is not, if we don't need parking as much, can we broaden, or are we looking at kind of farming, use farming mainly just on the on the land on the ground. And what also sparked kind of my question too is the is seeing some of the uses of like solar panels and how they're starting to grow vegetables underneath fruits underneath the solar panels because they can be in the shade more, not has a much intensity with the sunlight. So that was my question about can we look at our kind of our building spaces, especially in the urban parts of our city.
Yeah, appreciate that question. I mean, I think as it's gone thus far, it's definitely looking more at land than facilities. But never say never, right? There could exist possibilities and areas where, I mean, right, one of the things I always worry about, I'm not an engineer and I'm not an agronomist, is when people talk about green roofs or things like that, right? There's like load considerations to think about, especially on buildings that maybe weren't constructed to take that load. If you're talking about a parking garage, obviously we would hope that it could take that load. But I also don't necessarily see parking garages losing demand in Madison, right? Maybe some might say unfortunately, but it is an interesting idea in terms of could there be a role or a place to consider facilities in addition to land. I don't think it has been a growing strategy that we have particularly looked hard at, but again, I wouldn't say it's completely disqualified.
Man.
I would just offer there have been two in-depth studies of rooftop gardening, one on the new library. And that not only was incredibly expensive, but it created access issues for how would the public get up there to do the work when the library was closed and things like that. We had a bunch of engineering students make a proposal for, I think it's the Butler Street parking ramp. And that had some of the same access issues, but also it was not clear that it was built with quite enough capacity to concentrate the load of raised beds. I mean, it would depend on how many you did, but the bottom line from both of those was that they would probably be about the most expensive community garden spaces in the city to try to do that on top of buildings that were maybe even that weren't were designed to have that on the roof. I know there's a development on East Wash that put up some cattle watering tubs. And people can garden in those up on one of their upper levels. But I have heard the mayor talk about vertical gardening, and that is something that can more easily be sort of retrofit onto buildings that face in the appropriate directions. So I think that there is some talk about how to find what we don't think of as gardening space right now as potential growing space. So it's a good point and worth continuing to raise.
Okay. Thanks so much for your time, George, explaining more about this survey. This ex request for expressions of interest. And yeah, excited to see the results. Some people just don't turn in the things until the day before they're due.
I was going to say, I mean, there's 3 weeks left. I am not concerned. Like, I'm sure there's going to be a slew of
We haven't
submissions here in the
assigned it,
next.
it's turned in
Yeah.
yours yet. I forgot about it
There
until this week.
you go.
Okay. Back to you, Nick, for the public health.
I'll pass on the public health.
Okay. And I think Jess passed on extension, right?
I'll offer one extension update, which I don't know
Okay.
that has, which intersects with our work. We talked a little bit about some of the changes over at extension. Another person who's leaving the department, I just wanted to shout out, is Carrie Edgar, the long time department head over at Dane County Extension, is planning to retire this month. So I know some of the folks on this call are familiar with Carrie. She's been a former member of this council and an ally to the work for a long time. So maybe a shout out to her if you're for a friend of Carrie's.
Thanks, Nick. Okay, are there any announcements before we adjourn? And seeing no hands for announcements, can I get a hand to motion to adjourn? Alder Evers says a motion.
Yeah. Move to adjourn.
Thanks, Alder.
Second.
And Nan seconds. Are there, I'll, does anyone want a roll call vote on that? Otherwise, I'll assume unanimous consent, and I don't see anyone raising their hand, and so goodbye.